Good morning. Welcome to our Tuesday morning devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Limmler. I'm a staff member of the Dearborn Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Today is Election Day here in the United States, and while I have no intention of making a big deal of it, it is one of those days that we have the opportunity to vote, to be involved in the process of selecting leaders, but more importantly, it's a day to be reminded to pray, to listen to God's word, to put it into practice, to do what he commands, to pray for your leaders, regardless whether they're the ones you voted for or not. I always talk that out of anyone in history that had the ability to change the political climate that they lived in, I think it was Jesus, and yet chose not to. That wasn't what he was about. It wasn't why he was here. He was here to bring us salvation, to make God's kingdom known, to show mercy. And this week we're talking about loving the accused, particularly through this concept of showing mercy. And today we're going to talk and pray about mercy and its connection with patience, and specifically learning patience and receiving patience through God's mercy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 16 says, "But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's talking about the patience of God that was displayed through God's mercy. And when we consider life, mercy is one of those things that we tend to appreciate more when it's extended towards us than we do when it's required from us. We're rather quick at times to want judgment and some sort of punishment for others who do wrong, but not so quick to want it for ourselves. We might read the stories in the Bible and cheer on God's judgment and action in Sodom and Gomorrah, and even in turning Lot's wife into this pillar of salt just for a backwards glance. And we think, why doesn't God do that today? And we fail to realize how fortunate we are that he doesn't. That's not the usual practice. And frankly, it wasn't the usual practice of God in those days. But there were times that the people needed a visual reminder. And if you look at the progression, it really wasn't all of that sudden. God was patient with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. God was patient with Lot and his family. But when the time comes for God's judgment to be carried out, then it gets carried out. But the good news for you and for me is that God has chosen to demonstrate his patience toward us and extending mercy so that we would be able to have life eternal with him. There were many in the days of Paul and those early apostles that began to wonder if it was all a hoax, if they had somehow been misled, that Where was this return of Jesus? Years had passed and no Jesus. And we get so caught up in our timetables, in our expectations of when we think things ought to be done, that we lose sight of God's mercy and His patience. And so the Bible tells us that God is not slow or lax in keeping His promises, as some might think, but rather He is patient, He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. That to the Lord a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Time doesn't mean the same thing when you think in terms of eternity rather than in temporary. Time loses so much of its meaning that we tend to give it. But what does it look like today for you and me to experience the mercy of God, to be the recipients of His patience toward us? Paul says it's done and it's given, that as it sets an example that others can know the patience of God. Others can experience the patience of God for themselves. Now, I think they do that in two ways. One, they receive it in the same way that we do. That God holds off judgment until the day that's reserved for that judgment. There's time for us to repent. There's time for us to turn from our wicked ways. There's time for us to listen and obey the commands of Jesus. Those are the heart of God's patience. That's not a patience that's simply waiting for us to outgrow our sin. It's not a patience simply waiting for our sin to no longer carry the same weight or meaning. It's a patience wanting us to repent, calling for us to repent. It isn't one of those that we wear God down like children often do to their parents. That the longer we keep going, the more likely we are to get our way. It's not that at all. But rather, it's a holding off of judgment until the day reserved for that judgment, so that we have the opportunity to live as obedient children of God. To choose to live in that way. But I think the other side of it is that we're called to extend, to be representatives of that same patience, of that same mercy, as we live life. People see and understand God's patience when they become acquainted with Him, but until that point, they see it, or don't see it, however the case may be, in us. Are we merciful? Jesus comes along and says, "Blessed are the merciful." Why? Because they will be shown mercy. So many times we read Scripture and the Bible talks about reaping what we sow, and we think about it in all kinds of contexts, but how often do we think about it in the way we treat others? How merciful we are, how patient we are, how forgiving we are. We have the criteria that we would like to receive, but is it that same level that we choose to give? You see, God shows His mercy to us and through us, so that the people around us would know of his patience. They would know of his longing that all would come to repentance, that all would find life eternal in Jesus. And so we get the privilege of living out the very same thing that Paul did, of realizing that even in the worst of our sin, God's mercy was extended so that patience could be known by us and seen through us. And God's desire is to give us time to come to him. Do we have that same desire in our relationships with others and our interactions with people? Or are we willing to give them the time needed for them to come to know God, for them to repent, for them to be convicted by God's Spirit? One of those jobs we often like to take on ourselves that God says this isn't ours. It's the job of his Spirit to convict, to begin and to work on that process of transformation. And yes, we have involvement in teaching. The Bible says all Scripture is profitable. It's useful for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, for training in all righteousness. But it applies first to us. Sometimes we read that and we think that it's there for us to do that to others when we've not taken it as teaching for ourselves. We've not accepted the rebuke of God's word in our own life, or the correction of God's word, or the training. And yes, it is a tool that God has given us that we can use to help one another, to encourage one another, to do those things. But the power in it is God's word. The power in it is his Spirit. And today, as we live life, how much do you acknowledge God's mercy having been extended to you? I'm guessing the answer to that question can be seen by how merciful you are to others. And in those times where we begin to think we deserve favor with God, when we begin to think we earned it, we're probably not nearly as merciful to others as we ought to be. So today, as we pray, I would encourage every one of us to realize not only the value of God's mercy in our life, but the necessity of it. That we would grow in being merciful through and because of God's patience. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us, that your love has shown us mercy. It has revealed your patience. As you continually call us to yourself, you call for a repentant heart and life, a transformed mind. So God, today help us to live as those who have received your mercy, as those who share your mercy. And Father, I do continue to pray for the leaders that we have in the community that I live in the state and nation that I live in the world. I pray for leaders that would honor you, but I pray for people that would honor their leaders. that your children would rise up and continually pray for those who you have ordained, who you have put into place, whether we agree with them or not. May we learn from your word, may we learn from your spirit how to pray. And Father, today as we consider what it looks like, may we be merciful to those that surround us, specifically to those that we disagree with, to those who disagree with us. Just as you were merciful with us when we lived in opposition to you, may your patience in our life be seen, not just by us, but by those around us, by the way that we are patient with them. And Father, for those who are living life under the weight of the accusations of the enemy, and sometimes even under the weight of the accusations of us, of the people around them, may we learn to love them like Jesus does, that calls for a changed life but extends mercy and patience. And so God, today as we live life, may we pay attention. May we make the most of every opportunity to share the hope that we have in Jesus, to be patient, to be merciful, to love those who are downtrodden, who feel that there is no hope to be found. Father, may the mercy that we've received change how we treat others. And because of your great mercy and patience, may we be consistent in lifting up Jesus so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. Well, this has been our Tuesday morning devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.